For her, I thank you for the mantle that's on her. I just pray she could bring your word. Your word transforms us. Your word is what changes everything inside of us. So bring a deposit inside of us and change us today. I pray that you would truly transform our thinking and bring a life change that results in us being more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. There you go, baby.
So what an awesome privilege to be in a nation. I believe we're in revival here in San Diego, but to be in a nation in revival, and you know, you often hear revival, revival, but it has to result in reformation. And reformation means that society is changed and changes happen, and that is starting to happen. But before you can have reformation, you have to have transformation. And I'm going to talk about transformation today, and because you can't impart what you don't carry. You for you to be a reformer, you have to be a transformer. You have to be transformed. And this is so cool today. I'm going to share about Romans 12, 1 through 2. And this has just been on my heart for some time now. And I'm going to share the verse, and then I want to share a little bit about this prophetic painting that actually ties into that. So Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So it talks about the transformation, but the transformation, where it occurs first, is in your mind and your thinking. And I just want to show you this picture. For those who were at the women's conference and then at the church service, they got to see this picture. It's by Teresa Dedman. And I don't know if she prophesied publicly over the picture, over it, but I'd like to share what the prophetic word was that ties along with this picture. Let's see if this will work from my iPhone.
Father, I thank you for the power that's released and what you're doing, Lord. And Lord, we just release the presence of God over Teresa, Father. We release the breath of God, that this painting is, it's like a message to her about the power that she's going to do in transforming people's minds. I just felt like Romans 12, 2, that the Lord says that there's a new thing happening for you and in you about the transformation of the mind and taking women and taking people into places where their mind is transformed. And I painted the different blue colors to represent the power of revelation that God has for you. And the power of the green, which is like a new season for you of revelation, and how that's going to transform women's minds. And I felt like the white stood for the purity. So I was supposed to paint the white flowers of purity and restoration of what was lost, just to so many different women, about their identity, about who they are. And I felt like there was a flower that was right next to your ear, that was like an amber color that represented that you're going to hear the voice of heaven. You're going to hear the glory of what God has. And that's going to be the thing that you'll hear first, that will begin to give you revelation into who you are and into what God has for your ministry and for what you're going to be doing for women and for people around the world. And I feel like you have such a teaching gift and such a gift of impartation. Like, people just get around you and they feel empowered. Like, you have this strong sense of leadership as a woman. And also, like, it's like it's a crown on your head too. Like, there's something about you crowning women and being a queen yourself, a Queen Esther. And Father, I release a blessing that every time that she looks at this painting, every time that she sees it with her eyes closed, that God, there's something about seeing the invisible realm that is so key for what Teresa carries in this next realm. And just release this harvester anointing. Oh! Just release it in Jesus.
Man, so that is so cool, because that painting came in March, But it was interesting, in the beginning, of the year, Pastor Daniel was just asking the staff, what's on your heart to share this year? What series should we bring to the people? You know, what would be a blessing? And I just said, you know, I really want to talk about transformation out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it was so cool. That was back in January. And then this came in March. It was just a true confirmation that God wants to speak about this at this time in this season. And so I'm excited to share it. So transformation begins in the mind. Now, the mind is part of the soul realm. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But all this realm affects your body. And there's been amazing, amazing research that's come out. And I'm going to highly recommend these two books by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. This one is Who Switched My Brain Off? It says, Controlling Toxic Thoughts and Emotions. And then the other one, and this is Switch Your Brain On. It's a 21-day brain detox program. And she also has a third book as well, but these are the main ones I want to discuss today. Now, what's interesting about this lady, she's a cognitive neuroscientist with a PhD in communication of the brain. And she studies the brain pathways and things like that. But also, she's been looking into how negative thinking and networks in your brain can actually cause your body to be ill and sick. And so according to Dr. Leaf, our brain originally, from the way God made it, was wired for love. Because we're made in God's image. So that's how we're hardwired, right? To have positive thoughts of passion, happiness, joy, peace, and truth. That was the original design. But our brains, when we are negative in our thinking, it actually secretes negative chemicals which affect our body. And it's so interesting because, you know, if we look at God's way, God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. So God wants us to come up higher in our thinking. Come back to the original design, how he made us to begin with, because he knows what makes us healthy. So when we have negative thoughts like fears, our brain doesn't even know what to do with it. And so what it does is it secretes other chemicals in our body, but it brings the neurons in our brain out of order and into disorder. And it actually can create emotions like depression, anxiety, all that kind of thing, stress. And, you know, this is a picture Susan Taylor painted for me. I asked if she would do it. And it's a representation. Richard, it's a tree with dark branches and like thorns at the end of it. And this is somewhat what a brain dendrite would look like. Now, a negative thought in your brain actually has a physical anatomy. It actually has, you know, the thoughts are real and they have an actual anatomy. So this is maybe what a negative thought would look like in your brain. Now, a positive thought, it does not have all the thorniness on it. It's very much fuller. It would be more like a green tree in your brain rather than that thorny looking dendrite. So, and it's so interesting because as you think, you grow these brain neurons. Now, transformation, if we want to have a transformed mind, then that actually happens in God's presence. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we, with veiled faces, beholding as the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants us to transform in our thinking. He wants us to change negative thoughts to positive thoughts. And that word transformed is metamorpho. Pastor Daniel shared with that a while back. He said to change the form of. And this word is used four times in the New Testament. Twice when it's used to indicate transformation, just like the Romans 12 and then 2 Corinthians 3. But the other two times it's used with transfiguration, like what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, where their form was changed. So interesting, same word, but it means two different things. So we can be renewed by the renewing of our mind, and even it'll change even our outward appearance. is the evidence of the inward change. So interesting too, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' countenance became like glistening, like gleaming and radiant. And it's so amazing because he was covered with the glory of God. And you know, there's a time right now, I believe in the body of Christ, that God wants to draw us to the upward call in Christ. There's a word to the church right now that says, come up higher into the Spirit, in the presence of God, and into the mountain of the Lord where his presence is. And that's where you're going to see radical transformation of your body, soul, and your spirit. You know, a lot of times in church, we think it's just only about your spirit, man, but your spirit, soul, and body, you're tripart being, just, you know, like the Trinity, you're a tripart. And your soul and your body are affected by how you think. So when we gain a fresh perspective from heaven's view, we're going to have a healthier thought. It's almost like, you know, having a higher perspective on things, on life. I remember growing up, you know, a lot of times I'd be with my sisters, my mom, and, you know, we'd get all kind of concerned and worried and, you know, talking back and forth. And then my dad would come on the scene, and my dad just seemed to see the big picture, you know, and he was always like so calming to us. Like he seemed to see from a higher perspective than us. We were looking at this level. My dad was looking at this level. Well, how much more Father God, when he sees the big picture and his perspective? And what we need to do is we need to gain his perspective when we look at things. And so, you know, even on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's interesting because Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he invited Peter, James, and John, his closest friends. They went to this mountain, and in their presence, he was transformed. He became glorious, you know, and they saw his majesty. And it's amazing. You know, it's interesting. I heard Pastor Andrew's word last week. Great word. Listen to that. Awesome word. He was talking about the different manifestations of glory. You know what? Honestly, God, I believe, is inviting us to those greater realms of glory. And I think many of us are seeing just that happen. Like even on this trip and since then, since Fire and Glory, the outpouring in San Diego, I've just seen an increase of glory, even physically manifesting on my hands. I will look at my hands at times and they're just like, they have gold dust on them. And when that happens, I realize it's a sign and a wonder to me. I'm pretty amazed at it. I'm like intrigued by it. Like it's amazing. But then I realize it's also for a purpose. It's for a purpose to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's glory with a purpose. The manifestation is for a purpose. And I know even on our car ride home the other night, when we got back from the airport, we were driving home and we stopped at a gas station, filled it up with gas. And I was sitting in the car and my hands were just like covered. I was just shining a little light on it. And I was showing Daniel, look at all this sparkles on my hands. And then I just started asking God, why is your glory manifesting on my hands? Why? You know, why is this happening? It seems so random. I'm just driving in the car. And we walked into the gas station, and when I got in there, there was a attendant in there, and he had a neck brace on. And I saw him, and I was just chatting with him a little bit, and I said, hey, can I pray for your neck? Do you have pain in your neck? He said, yes. So he literally took his neck brace off. Daniel and I put, you know, my hand on the back of his neck, started praying for him. He started like sweating profusely. The fire of God hit him. It was just amazing. And I said, okay, now try out your neck. I mean, this is just, I think he was Turkish. So he was just moving his head like that. And God healed him. I mean, and he was like still sweating by the time we left. It was amazing. But I realized the manifest presence of God was for a purpose. It was to bring healing to that man. You know, that's why God wants to show his glory, to manifest his glory on earth. And it was so cool. So he was super blessed by that and gave him witness to him, gave him a track, blessed him. And, you know, he went home healed. So praise God. He did not put the neck brace back on too. We left and he kept it off, kept working. So yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is I believe that God is calling us up higher at this time in this season. And not only just higher in the realms of glory, glory, but higher even in our thoughts and in our attitude. And, you know, you've probably heard the saying before that your attitude will determine your altitude. It's very, very true. And the more I study this stuff, especially the stuff on the brain, you realize how true it is. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind and keep it focused habitually on the heavenly things, not on the earthly things. You know, just like this renewed mind over here, setting it on heavenly things. Now, Carolyn Leaf, this study was done in 2015, so it's real current. She was talking about these toxic thoughts, and she said between 75 to 95% of illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. That is amazing. It says what we think about affects us physically, emotionally, and it's an epidemic of toxic emotions. Do you realize they're saying right now that even there was a quote of 85% of illnesses in the body are due to the thoughts? You see, it's the thoughts are not just isolated. The thoughts secrete chemicals which affect the body and break down your immune system, different systems in your body. It's very related. Your thought and your body, they interact and they send messages back and forth. So it's not just the fact that it's isolated, your brain's here. No, it affects your body. And that means if 85%, I saw a quote, of illnesses are caused by your thought life, it says only 15% of illnesses are due to genetics or your diet. Isn't that amazing? I would have thought it was like so much higher, but that's what they're saying. So you can see that gaining a handle on your thought life is going to help you with health and healing and just wellness. So it's so important. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. And amazing. But through an uncontrolled thought life, we can create conditions for illnesses and make ourselves sick. You know, that it says that fear, that and a fear is a huge disease causer, actually. And it's known to trigger more than 14,000 known physical and chemical responses from 30 different hormones. So you can see just that emotion alone sets off a chain reaction in your body. And it says there's intellectual, medical, and of course, biblical reasons that God wants you to forgive, you know, and have positive emotions. Some of the toxic waste generated by some of these toxic thoughts can contribute to some of the following illnesses, such as diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, and allergies, just to name a few. So by consciously controlling your thought life, you'll start to detox your brain. You know, there's hope. You know, and that is the good news, because I think in times past, they thought once you're born, you know, you're kind of set as far as your brain and how it's wired, but you can actually change the way you think anytime. You're never too old to start changing the way you think and becoming more healthy in your thought life. So changing in your thinking is essential to detox that brain. And that means don't just let random thoughts go rampage in your brain. You know, you have to engage in what you're thinking about and analyze every thought before you accept it or reject it. You know, so you don't just be mindless. And I think this is really great. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says this in the Amplified. It says, so prepare your minds for action and be completely sober in spirit and steadfast and self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that's coming to you when Jesus is revealed. You know, it's that sober thinking is guarding your mind. You know, taking it, being vigilant of your thought life and casting down vain imaginations or thought that are negative or contrary to the truth. Now, here's a little survey, 10 questions of, it's kind of a, to see if you have toxic thinking. You ready? Okay. Any of these 10, okay? How many could have, would have, should have statements have you made today? Or maybe in your life. How many if onlys were part of your inner vocabulary. You don't even have to speak this stuff out. It's in your thought life. How many times have you replayed in your head a conversation or situation that pained you, or even one that hasn't occurred yet? How many scenarios have you created of an unpredictable future? How much speculation is taking time out of your day? And how passive is your mind? How honest are you with yourself? And are you at cross purposes with yourself? That's interesting. It says going through the motions, but not really committed to the goal, saying one thing and meaning another. That causes incongruence, and you might think you're fooling yourself, but your brain isn't fooled by it. How distorted is your thinking? Are you forming a personal identity around, for example, a disease? Do you say, my arthritis, my heart problem? Are you identifying with your problem as your identity? Well, anyway, do you make comments like, nothing ever goes right for me, everything I touch fails, I always mess up? All negative self-talk, right? And those are actually creating some of these negative dendrites and neural pathways in your brain. If you answered yes to even one of these, then your thought life needs detoxing. I'm going to say I think that's probably 100% of us, right? Well, the good news is that you're in church, and you know what? Just by being in God's presence, in His glory, and also renewing your mind by the Word of God, you're literally washing your brain. You know, church is good for you. It makes you healthy. You know, and I started thinking about it. We're praising and worshiping, and we're singing positive statements, and even, honestly, this is awesome, filled with joy, overflowing with hope. Come on, you have stress and worry, which is making you sick, then you need to start making some declarations. Because you know what? You're hardwired for love, joy, peace, all of the good things of God. You know, and I think we have an advantage being a Christian because we know about the fruits of the Spirit. We know about these things. And the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. You know what? You're going to be healthier than other people just by practicing the Bible, right? So amazing. So anyway, God gave us an incredible mechanism in our brain. He gave us free will to either accept or reject information. You're the gatekeeper of your thoughts, right? And, you know, there's two groups of emotions that are polar opposites. There are faith-based emotions and negative fear-based emotions. And each has a set of molecules and performs spiritual forces with chemical and electrical representation in the body. You know what? When it says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. What does that mean? Sound minds means safe thinking. Just by thinking well, you're keeping your body healthy. Isn't that amazing? So it's so intricately woven together. So faith-based emotions like love, joy, peace, happiness, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, and patience are good attitudes and produce good thoughts. That's where you're growing those healthy brain thoughts, right? You're thinking of purity. You're thinking of good things. That's what the Bible says. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. God knew this long before the neuroscientists knew this. He was way ahead of the game, right? They're catching up with God's thoughts. Science is catching up with it. And even stress will break your body down. And you think, well, I can't help it. It's so stressful. Well, you have to cast down those vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. You know, one thing you need to remember, Christ is on the throne, right? Yeah, God's still in charge. Okay, so some of the worry, you know, don't worry, be happy, right? You know, the Beatitudes are good for your attitude. You know, there's transforming power in it. There's health and healing in it, right? You know, there's God knew what He was saying. Worry makes you sick. It literally breaks down your immune system. And guess the root of worry is fear. You see how it's all interconnected and tied together, you know? And Anyway, God wants you to retrain and detox your brain. And I'm going to give you, since I'm running out of time, four quick little tips on how to do that. One thing too, you know, I understand there's negative situations in life and circumstances, but it's what you do with those. Do you continue to relive it, you know? Because if you do, then you're just creating a rut in your neurotransmitters. You're creating that thorny bush in there. You know, I heard a saying one time that says if bad things happen, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it. Don't curse it. Your goal is to forgive and God will reverse it. You know, because you can coddle a problem. You can relive that argument over and over. You can do all that. You're going to make yourself sick. So you have a choice to cast down those imaginations. And if something negative does happen, then don't keep dwelling on it. Your stress increases when you dwell on it. So do what God says. Think on things that are peaceful, pure, of good report. Think on these things. Okay, number one, understand that your thoughts are real and have an actual anatomy, in case you're looking at the outline. In Proverbs, this goes along with what Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know that your thought life will actually create your reality. Amazing, huh? So, and thoughts and memories, and they come in through your five senses, and they're actually creating. Because it's not just the fact that you think it, it's because your body reacts to the thought and sends chemicals into your body because of it. Number two, increase your conscious awareness of your thoughts and how you're feeling. So think about it. Don't you know, have you ever heard that says idle hands are a devil's workshop? An idle brain is too. Don't just let idle thoughts, you know, go in your brain. Cast down if it's something that you shouldn't be thinking about. And then do something with once you have analyzed the thought. Okay, if it's a good thought, then embrace it. If it's a good memory, embrace it. But if it's not, if it's something negative, then cast it down, those vain imaginations. It says, in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because if God is saying, don't worry, be happy, think on positive things, then anything less than that is against the knowledge of God. And then it also says, bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes you have to go after those random thoughts. You got to like lasso them up and drag them to the obedience of the Christ and the cross. Because sometimes, you know, the thought life can run ragged there. So you have to use some effort on this, right? And I think Joyce Myers wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. You can't be passive when it comes to your brain. You have to be actively engaging and renewing the mind. And then build new memories over old memories. It says, when you know the truth will make you free. Right? And I love this. This is a verse out of Deuteronomy, and this is so good. I remember when I first got saved, God gave me this verse. It was out of Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I give you choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so you and your descendants would live. God wants you to choose life. God wants you to choose life-giving thoughts as well. And you know what? When you either accept or reject a thought, it will actually change the circuitry in your brain. Your brain is growing when you think. Isn't that amazing? So you can change what the circuitry looks like in your brain. And you can replace some of these thorny memories, some of these thorny places with good memories. And you know what? The amazing thing is these will start to shrink. The bad cells will shrink and you can grow new healthy cells. It's never too late. So, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. Those those thoughts can be strongholds in your brain, fortresses. And the devil would love nothing more than just to keep you barred in those strongholds. But God wants you to tear them down when you discover those negative thoughts. I feel, you know, especially even after reading some of this material, studying the book, and just what God has been speaking to me about transforming the mind, I feel more encouraged than ever to just to go after the thought life, right? You know, I have had a habit in the past of worrying, honestly. I got worried, you know. Sometimes I worry about my kids. I worry about the church. I mean, it's good stuff, I think, but worry is not good. And you can literally stress out your adrenal glands and make yourself go into adrenal fatigue, you know, because I like adrenaline like the next person. I'll jump out of airplanes and dive with sharks for the adrenaline rush. It's awesome. But you can't live in a state of constant adrenaline because you will literally wear out your adrenal glands. You'll make yourself sick. You'll make yourself tired and go into fatigue. So what do you do with worry? You give it to the Lord. You cast it on the Lord. You do what God says about worry. You pray, right? And then you think on the positive things, not the worry thoughts. You know, there's some beautiful hymns from the past, and it talked about, you know, giving everything to God in prayer. And you know what? The things that God's, the principles God wrote in His Word are as current today as they were when He wrote them. Because God made us, He made us in His image. He knows what makes you well, what makes you to your optimum health. And if you just practice Bible, you're going to be leaps and bounds ahead. You're going to have healthy bodies, healthy minds. You're going to have a bright future, and you're going to be blessed, right? So anyway, this morning, I'm just going to pray for you. I know this was kind of a teaching deal, but you know what? Sometimes we just need to renew our mind, and we need to get realigned with the truth, and we need to let the revelation just wash over us in our thinking, right? Because in this world, there's a lot of negativity, and it's very, very easy to just go into that flow. You know what? You have to be like the salmon swimming against the stream to go against that flow of negativity and tap into the positive, and which is really faith. It's faith, faith-based thinking. So let me pray for you right now. And go ahead and just, you can close your eyes, and you want to stand maybe? That'd be great. And so let me pray for your thinking. Father, I thank you for each one here today. I thank you that you have given them the mind of Christ. I thank you in Christ there's no worry, there's no stress, there's no fear. I thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. God, I pray that you would just deliver any negative or destructive thoughts that are controlling each one here today. I thank you, Father God, that you're just helping them with stress, God, that you're helping them to not worry, but to tap into the supernatural, powerful weapons of God to cast down every fear and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. I thank you that they're going to walk in faith and renew their mind with the truth, and the truth will set them free. I just bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Amen.